Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name is Rob Bagby. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft Corporation. And this is the first in a multi-part series where I'm going to be illustrating building a sample Silverlight application using design patterns. Some patterns that are going to solve some common challenges that you run into within an application. We'll talk about the problems that these patterns solved and some of the benefits you're going to gain from them. So the way this is going to work is I'm just going to be building these out, one at a time as we go, and we'll try and keep them to digestible chunks, 15 minutes or so for the screencast, and the blog post will follow along. So there'll be typically a blog post for every screencast. You can go out to robbagby.com, and you can find these. They're right underneath the Silverlight on the right-hand side. If you click on that tag, you'll find these. So you can see part one is out here. I've also already got a couple other screencasts, posts out there as well, and the screencast will be catching up. So with that, what are we going to be building? Let's go ahead and take a look. I've got a part of the application already built. Now we're going to go beyond this, but this is just a little sample help desk application. And so you can see on the left-hand side, I've got a list of open or closed. I think these are open help desk tickets, or they're open and closed actually, with a low, medium, or high severity level. When you click on them, you get a little gratuitous animation on the right. We can go ahead and change it. We can go ahead and make changes to this data. So we'll change this one to another one. I'll click Save Changes. And you can see as we save changes, our ticket was updated. We can also go ahead and change things like the severity level. I've got a nice little collection of, or a nice little chart here that charts the severity levels. As I do that, you can see that what we're doing is we're making a call down to the server through WCF, going through our pipeline and our repository layer, writing back to the database. Our view model is getting updated, and the page is reflecting that. So this is what we want to build over the course of the next couple weeks. So let's go ahead and close this out, and let's get going. As I stated earlier, the goal in this screencast is to get everything set up okay, and implement maybe our linked SQL model and make everything serializable. And then tomorrow we'll go ahead and push out the repository and maybe implement our validation logic. So with that, let's go ahead and get things set up. I've got an empty, I really don't even have a solution yet. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new solution. So I'm going to go under project, and I'm going to look under other project types here. So you'll see normally you grab a project from under here or Visual Basic, depending on what your language of choice is. Here I'm going to choose Visual Studio Solutions, and I'm going to create a blank solution. I'm going to call it Help Desk. I'm doing that because I want to split my logic or split my projects across client and server side. And I want to make it really clear what's client side and what's server side. And so I'm just going to go ahead and create a couple solution folders. So I'm just going to choose client, and then I'm going to add a server solution folder. So all I'm doing is just grabbing a new solution folder down here. And we're good to go. So now what we can do is we can start to work on our application. Let's take a look at our database first. See, I've got a uber simple data model here. I've got a ticket and a severity level lookup table. So the ticket is really just long description, short description, is open, severity level ID, which is the foreign key to my severity level lookup. And then I've got this ticket date. Severity level lookup, this is like low, medium, or high, and then has an integer value, 1, 2, and 3. Very simple model. This is a sample app in every sense of the word. So let's go ahead, and we're going to use Link to SQL to sit in front of the database. And a lot of people have asked me when I talk to them about this up front, why not the Entity Framework or Hibernate or whatever. I may well swap out the Link to SQL implementation with the Entity Framework. I've done a lot of work with the Entity Framework in the past, and with Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 coming out very soon, I'll probably go ahead and swap out the Link to SQL implementation for Entity Framework 4.0 just to play with that a little bit later. But for now, we're going to start with Link to SQL. A lot of people use it, and I think this will be helpful. So I'm going to go ahead and choose Add New Project, and we're just going to add a class library. So I'm just going to call this helpdesk.data. And this is just going to contain all my data logic in it. So I'm going to get rid of this class that it spun out for me. And let's go ahead and add a new item. And we're going to add a Link to SQL class. So I'm going to look under Data, Link to SQL Classes, and I'm just going to call this Help Desk. I'm not all that creative. So let's go ahead, and Hopefully you've worked with Link to SQL before. Let me get this out of the way for now. If not, Link to SQL does a pretty good job. It's a one-to-one mapping between tables and classes. So I'm going over here into my Server Explorer and into my help desk database, and I'm grabbing these two tables, severity level lookup and ticket. I'm going to make a couple changes to it real quickly. I'm going to go ahead and change the name of this severity level. Let me go ahead and plant this because that gets annoying fast. I'm going to change the name of this property, severity level, to just level. I'm going to change the severity level lookup object to just be severity level. I think that makes a little more sense for my application. So that's great. Now, Link to SQL essentially does a one-to-one mapping between, it'll build out, the designer will build out some objects for these tables and map them together just by simply annotating the types that are generated or the classes that are generated. You can take a look at that inside of the helpdeskdesigner.cs file. If you go ahead and, whatever you name your type, you can see my severity level is decorated with this table attribute. And in fact, my class I renamed to severity level, but it's saying that, hey, this actually deals with the severity level or is mapped to the severity level lookup table. Okay. The other thing to notice is that these are partial classes, and so these are implemented as partials. We're going to use that when we get to our validation logic. So with that, I've got my two types generated for me. Now, what I need to do is I need to make sure that sorry about that noise. That's the noise that pops up when you have a great idea. My great idea is that I need to make sure that these types are serializable. Now, when SP1 came around, 3.5 SP1, we lifted the restriction on objects. But prior to that, if you wanted to use the data contract serializer, which is the default serializer in WCF, prior to that, you had to decorate every class that you wanted to marshal or serialize. You had to decorate that with a specific attribute. It's the data member attribute. Data contract attribute. And then every public property or non-public property or field that you wanted to serialize, you had to decorate that with the data member attribute. Now, with 3.5 SP1, those restrictions were lifted, and any public property or field were automatically serialized for you. So you might think, all right, so I don't really have to do any work here if I want to serialize, say, a ticket and have its security level lookup object included with it. Well, that's not exactly correct. If you have any relationships, really, you have to go back to decorating those types. So let's go ahead and take a look and see what the designer generated for us. And when we take a look at these types, here's our severity level lookup. You can see we're not decorated with the data contract. None of these are decorated with the data member. So we're not going to serialize at all here. We're going to get a serialization exception when we try and marshal this. You can take my word for that. So what I need to do is I need to make it serializable. My goal when I first started working on this, I'd really thought this was going to take me 5 minutes at most. What I really need to do is just find the tooling that allowed me to make this serializable. So you can see, if I just click in any white space here, you can see I've got this serialization mode. If I change that from none to unidirectional, and we just that's it. If I go back to the designer-generated code, you can see now my severity level lookup is decorated with the data contract, and the public properties are decorated with the appropriate data member attribute. And so that got me most of the way there. Now, this kind of takes us back, though, to what does unidirectional mean? Well, take a look at the model. I've got a ticket that's got a lookup to a severity level, and I've got a severity level that's got a collection of tickets. And so if I tried to serialize this both ways, bidirectional, we would hit this kind of endless loop where, you know, the ticket would have a severity level and the severity level would try and serialize all of the tickets, etc. So the way we chose to implement this was unidirectional. You can either serialize the ticket and get its severity level object, or you can try and or you can go the other way and you'll serialize it severity level and you get a collection of tickets. You can't get it both ways. By default, we move from the parent and then the child collection. We will serialized. And you can see that right here. If I go ahead and click on this relationship attribute and expand these guys, you can see that my parent is severity level, and by default, I will get the tickets will get serialized for me. I didn't want that. And so I found a way partially to take care of this through the designer. If I go ahead and just turn this tickets, if I change this child property to internal, what's going to happen is, let me just leave it as it was. Let's just leave it there and take a look at the code. If we go ahead and take a look at the designer generated code for severity level, if we take a look at the tickets, you can see right now it's decorated with the data member attribute. However, if I go back into the properties and go ahead and set this as internal, there we go, and then we save that and we go back and look at it, now you can see that the tickets are no longer decorated. Now, the next thing I need to get done is, in my ticket class, I've got this severity level type. It's just a complex type that I want to include. And we can see down here that that is not decorated. Well, I haven't been able to find a way in the designer to take care of that. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that by hand. And there may be a way, if you know what it is, go ahead and leave a comment on my blog. I wasn't able to find it, and I spent a few hours looking for it. So now I've decorated this thing appropriately, and this will serialize in the appropriate direction for me. So I'm going to do a Control-Shift-B and get everything all built out. So we've got our, we're actually set up here. We've got our project set up. We've got our link to SQL model set up, and we've essentially decorated the generated types appropriately so that they'll serialize. In the next post or in the next screencast, which I'm going to release tomorrow, I'll illustrate how to build out your repository layer, and we'll also build out some validation logic. So look forward to talking to you then.